Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Hey, Tiffany.
This is Pat.
You look nice.
Thank you.
I'm not flirting with you.
I didn't think you were.
Let me tell you. You gotta pay attention to the signs. When life reaches out with a moment like this, it's a sin if you don't reach back. I'm telling you, it's a sin if you don't reach back.
Ah, the wonderful world of dating. Yes, it's something that's important to everybody who's single and is thinking that they don't want to be single anymore, and especially in the body of Christ. I mean, it's something that has become more common for people to use dating services and try to, you know, bridge the gap that way. But what is the key to finding a lifelong partner in marriage? Well, Pastor Dan Chun spent a good portion of his ministry years as a singles pastor at a large church. He did a lot of case studies on the men and women who were there looking to find mates, and today here on the Homeward broadcast, he joins us on the phone from Hawaii, where he's now currently serving as a senior pastor at his church there, to talk about how to find a lifelong partner in marriage. So if you're single, or if you know somebody who is single, this is a great program to listen to. Here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am delighted you're joining us today. We're talking about how to pick a spouse. That's our topic. And my good friend Dan Chun has written a wonderful book that I think every single adult should read. Now, I guarantee you, even if you're married or single and not with someone yet, you're going to benefit from today's broadcast. As always, Homeward is broadcast on stations all over America, Canada, Great Britain. We just heard Turks and Caicos. I'm not even sure where that island is. And a podcast around the world via homeward.com website as well as iTunes. Dan Chun. He is truly one of my favorite people. Dan is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church, Honolulu, Hawaii, and that's where we're talking to him via phone. He's the co-founder of Hawaiian Island Ministries as well, along with his wife, Pam. Incidentally, Pam is also one of my favorite people on the planet. They have three children. They've got two dogs. Dan, welcome to the broadcast.
It's great to be with you. Aloha.
Aloha. Gosh, whenever I talk to you, I feel the Hawaii spirit. I'm actually wearing an aloha shirt today. Here, we're in studio in Southern California. You're in Hawaii, but I'm wearing an aloha shirt. You know, there you go, in your honor, I guess.
How great. And I'm wearing a dress shirt just for you. See, you're trying to be very, like, when in Rome, do as the Romans.
Absolutely. Although you haven't seen me, and we're good friends, and you haven't seen me wear too many dress shirts in my life. Here you go. Dan has a Master's Divinity and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. He also has a Master's degree from the University of Southern California in Cinema Production from the School of Performing Arts. And before entering the ministry, he was an award-winning filmmaker and former TV newscaster for CBS affiliate. He has spoken all over the United States and in countries like England, Thailand, China, Singapore, and the Philippines, and beyond. So it's great to have him with us. Dan, you wrote a book, and I told you I loved this book. In fact, I endorsed it like crazy, How to Pick a Spouse. And that's, of course, the topic for the day. Over 2 million people will get married in the United States this year. And if you had 1 minute to give them some advice, what would some of that advice be?
My advice would be choose wisely, because a huge percentage get divorced.
Oh, exactly. You know, you gave an illustration, and I was thinking about this. You know, if I get on an airplane, I was just in Portland, and if I got on the airplane and the flight attendant said, hey, by the way, you know, there's a 1 out of 2 or a 1 out of 3 chance that, you know, we're going to crash, I wouldn't go on the airplane. And what you gave an illustration like that actually kind of rocked my boat. When you tell us about that.
Well, yeah, if you think about it, the national average of divorce is about 30%, and depending on your demographics, age and education, all that, it can be as high as 40%. And who would get in a car or a train or a plane where the flight attendant says, hey, you know, there's a 30% chance you're going to crash and burn? None of us would do that. And yet, that's really the reality of marriage, which is really, really hard. I mean, we all know who've been married for many years that is hard work with communication. But if you choose the wrong spouse at the beginning, then you are deep caca from the beginning.
Yeah, and that may be the first time, Roger, we've ever had the word caca on. I think we should probably keep that on. I'm not sure what that
means. I like to be a history maker.
You are a history maker on Homeward. When I met you, you were a singles pastor at a great church called Menlo Park Presbyterian Church. And you were working with singles. And one of the things that was so interesting to me as I was reading your book on how to pick a spouse is your rate of divorce while you were doing premarital counseling with these people. And now, as you look back after all those years, is a lot better than the national average. What's up with that?
Yeah. What's crazy is that, you know, much of what I have in my book are the principles that I taught these singles. And by God's grace, after 2 or 3 years, we had several thousand singles coming because they, you know, singles were just looking for a safe place to meet and find a date or find a mate. And so I taught them these principles. And then I thought, you know, I wonder how many of them got divorced. How many of them who got married during about a 10-year period got divorced? And so I went back and looked, and out of 261 people who got married, only 25 got divorced. Or to look at it another way, out of 143 marriages, 14 did not work out. And so that's about a 9.5% divorce rate compared to 30 to 40 or maybe even higher, depending what survey you use. And so I thought, you know, there are principles we can use of how to ensure the higher probability that we're going to make it. And so why not tell people about it?
No, exactly. You know, it's fascinating when you say that about that incredible rate. I was reading recently in the area of premarital counseling that if people would simply get premarital counseling, the Parrots, Les and Leslie Parrott, who are good friends of mine, said that there's about a 31% better chance that they will stay married just because they went through premarital counseling. Well, part of it is getting the kind of information that's in your book, but part of it is just people who are willing, I would imagine, to get premarital counseling. Is that what your take is, too?
Yeah. I mean, if we look at, you know, when we buy a car, we're very careful and we're looking at, you know, what's the miles per gallon and what kind of tires are on it. And even we say, how many cup holders does the car have? And, you know, does it have good airbags on the side and the back? And we take a long time on purchasing something that we might not have 5 years later. Or a house. How's the water pressure? Is it a good school area, et cetera? Are there termites? But for a marriage that's supposed to be for the rest of our lives, most people don't take the time to figure that out. They don't have premarital counseling, which is crazy.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And plus, they probably put more energy into a one-day wedding, not that that's a bad thing in terms of the wedding, but a one-day wedding than they do in terms of a lifelong marriage. And that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, and you know, there's a. I once read a book. It was about, how to get married in 30 days. And I thought, well, that's an interesting book. And I read it, and it's a good book. It's not a book, but then I thought, you know, I don't need 100 plus pages to write this book of how to get married in 30 days. I don't even need 50 pages. I don't need even 10. I don't even need. I just give me one page with one sentence. And if you want to get married in 30 days, my one sentence would be, lower your standards. Anyone can get married anytime, any day, if you lower your standards. But we shouldn't do that. We all should, you know, we're all gifted people by God, special people. And so we should choose wisely of what would be the best match because it can be hell or heaven on earth depending on who we choose.
Yeah, no, you're right. One of the things that I thought was really interesting in your book was the fact that you say it takes a village to choose the right spouse. And your suggestion is that, you know, you invite friends, you invite family to kind of weigh in on, you know, the person that they're dating. I thought that was a great idea. It doesn't always happen with kids today or with young adults or even, you know, in second marriages. But what you're saying is, you know, ask your village, ask your community what they think about your special person.
Well, it's so important to give permission to our friends to say, what do you really think about this person I'm dating? But we don't really give permission to our friends. We normally say, hey, don't you like Ryan? Isn't he phenomenal? Isn't he fantastic? He's so godly. He prays all the time, and he has such a heart for God, and he has such a service to help the poor. And so what do you think about him? And if that's painted into a corner, and you don't know what to say because you don't want to burn a bridge with your friend. You don't want to burn a bridge with this person if you're going to marry. And so you just say, oh, he's okay. And what I think is tragic is I've had many friends, in fact, one recently, who had dated a guy for 10 years, and they broke up last year. And lo and behold, every single one of her friends said, I never thought he would be good for you. I thought he was kind of a jerk, actually.
Wow.
And she had never heard that.
Yeah.
And how tragic. She lost, in a sense, 10 years of her life going down the wrong trail with the wrong guy. And my book is just trying to save people from that heartache. And I would, in a sense, eradicate divorce and have healthy and happy marriages.
That's amazing. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Dan Chun is with us. He's written a wonderful book. Roger's going to tell you about it right now, How to Pick a Spouse. I love what Neil Clark Warren said about the book. If you're thinking about getting married, you need to read this book. Good stuff. Roger, tell us more about the book, and we'll be right back with Dan. When we come back, I want to actually ask Dan about this. He's been married to his lovely wife, Pam, for over 32 years, but he's been single twice. We're going to talk about that. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns.
Well, Jim, that's a more and more common story. And as we've been having conversations with people who study marriage and the demographics of marriage, we're hearing that tale a lot, the facts on divorce and remarriage. But this is a great resource that Dan's written, and we've got it up at homeward.com. Highly recommend it, too. We talk a lot here at the Homeward Ministry about marriage and Jim's books, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and the devotional book that he and his wife, Kathy, have written called Closer. But this whole concept of picking a spouse the first place is something that it's more and more common for people to have to walk down that road. And it's something that we as parents too, especially as your kids are in their late teens and early 20s, you might have a son or daughter who might be in that situation right now where they're thinking, gosh, how do I, you know, I've dated a lot. How do I pick the right person for me? You know, how does a girl find the right guy? How does a guy find the right girl? This is a good resource, and I'm glad we're recommending it today. It's up at homeward.com. You can get Dan Chun's book wherever Christian books are sold, and we highly recommend it. More in just a moment as Homeward with Dr. Jim Burns continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Hey, Lee.
Hey.
Yeah, I just got off the phone with Dave Jenkins. He said he tried to reach you this morning, but was told you were out of the office?
Yeah, I just needed some extra time to finish off his proposal.
So, it's not done then?
It will be in time for the meeting, if that's what you're wondering.
Lee, I'm a bit concerned that you lied to one of our most important clients.
Well, I didn't lie, Bill. I just did what I had to give Mr. Jenkins the kind of proposal that would keep your commissions high. Isn't that what you want?
Integrity is in short supply in our society, and your kids are growing up in a culture where the facts are presented as more important than the truth. Kids learn a lot through imitation. Well, that means that your kids are learning their most valuable lessons about integrity from you, their parents. I'd love to send you my brand new tip sheet, Why Integrity of Parents is Important to Their Kids. And for your free copy, you can log on to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. We are thrilled today to have Dan Chun with us. We're talking about a brand new book of his called How to Pick a Spouse. That's our topic. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, even if you are not trying to pick a spouse, maybe you have kids, you are somebody who is single, and one day you're going to be picking a spouse. This is a great topic today. Actually, it was a great topic for me as I thought about it with my own wife, Kathy, in terms of some really, really good input. And Dan's just a treasured friend in my life. Dan, I mentioned right before the break that you had actually been married to your wife, Pam, for over 32 years. I happen to know Pam, and I think you married above yourself, but that's neither here nor there. But you were single twice in your life. And yet you have a real passion for how to pick a spouse. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, and this book comes out of kind of the cauldron of the pain and suffering of going through a divorce. And that's part of my reason for writing it, is wanting people to avoid unnecessary pain like that. And just before seminary, I went through a divorce. My wife surprised me and said one day that I don't love you. In fact, I never did. And, of course, I was just really stunned and shocked, and I was crushed. And so it's out of that pain, kind of trying to be the phoenix out of the ashes, that I really wanted to alert people of things that I should have seen and that they might need to see. And so, but by God's grace, being married for 32-plus years and being a singles pastor, just focusing on those issues for nearly 7 years, and now being having been a pastor for 30-plus years, has really given me an opportunity to counsel and listen and struggle with people and, you know, go into their pain, that I think this book is you know, straight talk with real talk with real answers.
Yeah. But, you know, let me, I know we're talking about how to pick a spouse, and that's the topic of your book, but when your, you know, wife and you were, you know, you were young when this happened, and she said, "I don't love you anymore." How'd you get through that? I mean, that's a tough, tough thing.
Well, it was a horrible time, and you know, earlier we were talking about it takes a village to help choose a spouse. Yeah. It takes a village to get through trauma,
yes,
and to go through kind of that post-traumatic syndrome, and so it was really, you know, on one hand, how embarrassing that you get prayed for by your church, commissioned by them to be sent off to seminary to become a pastor. And 2 weeks before seminary begins, I get this news, this devastating news. But the good thing, even though seminary turned out to be my wilderness years, because I just really honed in on the lesson, that, you know, Lord, if the Bible is true, it's going to have to be true for someone like me. And yet I'm surrounded by these godly men and women who helped me get through those three difficult years when I was in seminary.
You know, it in some ways that's also a theme of on how to pick a spouse. We were talking, you know, just moments ago about the fact that we need to have a village to help us through it. But don't you think the fact is, when it comes to relationships, we sometimes do try to do it alone in any direction. And when that happens, a lot of times it's our own failure. I was talking with somebody this weekend. I was actually preaching at a church in Portland on marriage, protecting your marriage, and they said that they had really never talked to anybody. They knew there were problems in the relationship, but they were afraid to tell anybody, so they just were silent on it. And then the problems kept coming.
Yeah, and that's really sad. And you know, that is the benefit of a church too. And I think you know, our good friend Shanti Feldhahn say that if you go to a church, you actually have a lower chance for divorce, something like 23 or 25%,
pretty incredible
lower rate.
Yeah.
And which is contrary to what we've heard, that there's no difference whether you're a Christian or not in the divorce rate. That's actually not true. The question is, everybody says they're a Christian. The test is, have you gone to church in the last week? Okay, now that we know that, let's answer the question.
Right.
And find out the divorce rate.
You're exactly right, and I appreciate that so much. I want to talk about dating for a minute. I love this quote. You called dating the danger of the weird zone. In quotes. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think I was going to say most of us, but let me change that to all of us as an arranged marriage. I think all of us, when we start dating, we get incredibly infatuated, and we get into this weird zone where we think the person we're dating is absolutely perfect. It's almost like we're dating Jesus or dating the Virgin Mary or something.
Right.
And this person has no faults, and we say these lofty things like, He knows my needs before I even say them, and he picks the same food that I like, and it's just craziness. And so that is actually a highly vulnerable stage where we can get involved in relationships. We can get into romantic situations we shouldn't, way too early. We make promises way too early, and when we think about our American phrase of "I'm falling in love," right? I mean, that's actually an accurate picture. Like, we're falling off of a cliff. Our arms, our legs are flailing in the air. We're out of control, and we're falling in love. Somehow, at the time when we really need to be wise, we are not wise. And that is a very precarious time, and that's really a big time when we need the community near us and find out how they think about this guy we're dating, or listen to a pastor or a friend or whoever.
No, it's great. You're so right. I actually one time said, I feel like this couple that I was trying to counsel in premarital counseling, I feel like they're on drugs. They weren't on drugs, but there was a drug. And it's true. When you're in love, you know, the dopamine in your brain is, you know, doing certain things. And, you know, we really do need time to deal with that. Now, at the same time, and this goes right along with it, and this is a quote out of your book. You said, if you are having a hard time in courtship, it will only get worse in marriage. What did you mean by that?
Yes, I truly believe that. So normally in courtship, you're on your best behavior, you know, and you look good, and you know you're dressing well, you're on time, and you do things you don't normally do. Like, she loves the opera, you hate the opera. She says, "Honey, right. You want to go to the opera?" Right. Of course, honey, I'd love to go to the opera.
Right.
And so you're really in this incredible weird time that you can get in trouble in a major way.
Right, right. And even when it comes to hard times, where you'll say, well, I know right now he has a little addiction to pornography, but you know he's going to get past that. Or she spends incredible amounts of money with her credit card, and we are going to come into some debt. But you know, I know we can work that out. Well, no, really, what you want to do is deal with that before you get married, not after the wedding.
Right, and I guess I want to say that if you are arguing a lot during this courtship when things are best,
yeah.
I guarantee you're going to argue a lot more when you're married.
Yeah.
And marriage is just tough. You know, I would say for Pam and me, and this is very unusual, we probably didn't get in any arguments in our first 5 years. That's very unusual. But once we had our first child,
yeah.
You know, and we're taking turns having 1 hour sleep for the day
and
feeding the child, your patience, your tolerance goes down, and you just get on each other's nerves. And if you don't even have that reservoir of strength prior to that, it's just going to get worse. And so when I see friends really arguing a lot and not getting along, I really say it's going to be harder later. And if you don't have the skills to communicate now, you're not going to have the skills needed
right.
for marriage
right.
later. And it may be they've just chose the wrong person to be with. You know, it's kind of like, I hate to use a sports metaphor, but Brett Favre, the great quarterback for Green Bay Packers, when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, he was nothing. But when he got to be with the Green Bay Packers, he became a most valuable player. And so sometimes you just have to have the right match, the right chemistry, and then a lot of the gifts and skills that God has given to us starts blossoming in a way. And you can say that for almost any job. I even see that with pastors. There's a famous pastor who was in a church in the South, and he did okay, but when he moved up north, he did really well. And it was just the right match, the right congregation, the right people, the right elders, the right everything.
Right. What you're saying all throughout how to pick a spouse is figure that out before you get into the relationship in marriage, and it'll go a lot better.
Hey, one thing I want to add, Jim, is that, you know, I mentioned earlier about it takes a village, and you need to give your friend permission to speak into your life about who you're dating. But I should say, we have to start a lifestyle now practicing that. We can't just wait till we are in the weird zone and we have a romantic person to flip on the switch and say, okay, I'm getting your permission. We need to start now asking their permission of, hey, what do you think about this car I want to buy? What do you think about this job I'm considering? What do you think about this apartment I think about living in? And suddenly the community gets used to having the permission to speak into your life.
Yeah, it's really, really good. You know, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And really, that's a hedge of protection. Great input. Listen, we don't have enough time. We're running out of time. We're going to have to come back next time. I want to talk to you about sex before marriage and cohabitation and only about 1,000 other things. So can you come back next time?
Yes, I'd love to.
Fantastic. Dan Chun with us. What a great conversation. How to pick a spouse. You know, it sounds almost unromantic. This is not unromantic. It's wise input from a very wise friend and a good friend of mine. And I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today. Roger, why don't you take it over?
Well, I want to just remind our listeners before we leave the air today that we've got a link up at homeward.com to Dan's book, How to Pick a Spouse. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. We don't sell books here, per se, except for Jim's books. And but the books that we do sell of Jim Burns, there's a marriage book called Creating an Intimate Marriage. If you are in the process of looking for a spouse, or maybe you just got married and you want to find a way to grow deeper in that relationship and grow stronger spiritually, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, is a good one to have. And you can order that book directly from homeward.com. Homeward.com is our online resource center, and when you order any of Jim's books from our online resource center, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we truly appreciate that faithful financial support. So for ordering information for Dr. Jim Burns' book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, we encourage you to check out our online resource center today. That's homeward.com, spelled HOMEWORD.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook And if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.